Good morning and welcome to Cool Science Radio. It's science and technology that's fun, accessible, entertaining. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with John Wells. Jamie Bartlett is our first guest this morning. He has written books on the dark web. His TED Talk on the topic has over 2 million views. Today, he writes on a very current topic, how technology is affecting our democracy. With Mark Zuckerberg sitting in Senate hearings and Russian hacking into our elections, our guest says there is one simple truth. Digital technology and our democracy are incompatible. His book is called The People Versus Tech, How the Internet is Killing Democracy and How We Can Save It. Jamie Bartlett, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
Great to have you. We were just watching before we went on air your TED Talk that's had about 2.2 million views on the dark web. Very interesting. And it seems as though you're serving as sort of a canary in the coal mine, perhaps, telling us what we ought to be scared of and what we can do about it. So why don't you launch into it? What can we do about it?
Yeah, the funny thing is the book about the darknet, the hidden underworld, unfortunately seems rather light by comparison to the new book, would you believe it, which is about the threat to democracy that that modern digital technology is creating. And if I can put it very simply, I think that there's sort of key pillars that make our democracy really work. Institutions, laws, regulations that we've set up, we've worked on over several years, and it's things like a free press, a strong middle class, a shared kind of sense of reality among citizens who are informed and thoughtful, and elections that are free and fair. And then suddenly along has come this digital tech working to a very different set of principles, and in lots of different ways is slowly undermining each of them. And I don't think people, at least not until the last couple of weeks, I have to say, I don't think people were really aware of that. But I'm hoping with the recent revelations that more and more are realizing just quite where we're heading.
Jamie, what's your observations on the last couple of days of testimony with Zuckerberg?
Well, there was the obvious and fairly apparent disconnect between some of the senators who really didn't seem to understand not just Facebook's technology. Of course, it's unrealistic to expect that politicians are computer scientists. I'd hate it if they were. But the basics of how the internet actually works and how the modern digital economy actually works. And, you know, I don't want to be snooty about this because I can't expect everyone to know everything, but it's quite important that our politicians get up to speed on what this technology is and how it functions. Because in the years ahead, one thing that we know for sure is that artificial intelligence is going to get better, algorithms are going to get more important, and we need to find ways of holding them to account. And that's the role for our politicians.
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask your opinion on one thing, something I said at the top of the hour when Lynn and I were just talking a little bit. Is if you accept the notion that that the United States was hacked and that Facebook data was used by the Russians to to go to Kogan, who sold the Facebook data to Cambridge Analytica, and they somehow manipulate it or tried to manipulate the election. If you believe that that is the United States under attack, how come not one senator said to Zuckerberg, what can we do to help you? I mean, he was on the hot seat, obviously, and he has some accounting, he has some explaining to do, but I didn't see the government coming to Zuckerberg and saying, hey, this is pretty serious stuff, what can we do to help you? What are your thoughts on that?
Interesting point. I mean, I heard one senator, I'm not sure if it was a senator or a congresswoman actually, saying, how can we help you when it comes to stopping crime and stopping terrorism?
Oh, okay, someone did say.
It's always a go-to place for politicians. But they didn't really, you're right, they didn't really say much about how can we help you maintain the integrity of our electoral system. And I don't know, dare I say, one of the reasons is that every senator and congressperson and politician sort of also relies on Facebook to run their election campaign. You know, they all use it, or most of them use it. And for example, Senator Ted Cruz, particularly didn't mention Cambridge Analytica. Guess why? Because he used Cambridge Analytica during his presidential bid. So there is a kind of, most politicians now rely in one sense or another on these platforms. And I think that's, in a way, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, so regulation, any upcoming regulation on the internet or Facebook, you may see some pushback from even the senators who are from, let's say, a generation where they might not even understand it fully.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, I sometimes think we underestimate just how busy and rushed and technically illiterate our politicians often are. And I don't blame them for that so much. But then in comes a technologist and says, I'm going to be able to target 500,000 voters and persuade them to vote for you. And there's all this magic about how it works. It's kind of unrealistic to expect them to say no. Of course they're going to say yes. But the short-term gain for individual politicians, I think, should be outranked by the long-term problems that this is creating for the integrity of our electoral system. If everybody is being micro-targeted with personalized adverts based on sophisticated models of personality profiling, this, to me, is not a particularly good recipe for a functioning democracy. We need to have democracy being about argument and ideas and not a system of data science where you nudge people using psychological manipulation.
Yeah. If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're speaking with Jamie Bartlett, who has written The People versus Tech, How the Internet is Killing Democracy and How We Can Save It. Jamie, what are the contradictions between democracy and technology?
Well, a lot of people think that democracy is simply a question of individual freedom, that it's really just a way of guaranteeing individual liberty and freedom of conscience, freedom of expression, but it's not. It's also a system of control. There has to be a means by which the political system can force the majority within reason and with protection, but can force the majority opinion and on a population, and are able to hold certain powerful concentrations of influence and decision making to account. That the problem is that more and more decisions are being taken by extremely powerful and complicated algorithms using systems that politicians don't understand, and so there's no real mechanism by which democratic systems are able to hold powerful decision makers to account. And a similar problem is with enforcing law and order. And it's not very popular to talk about the importance of law and order when it comes to democracy, but democratic systems have to be able to maintain law and order to manageable levels. But digital technology, because it's borderless and almost impossible to control, and increasingly uses encrypted technology, makes it very difficult for law and order to function online. This is why such a tiny proportion of online crime is successfully prosecuted. So once you get beyond the kind of, it's brilliant for democracy because everyone gets a say, there are underlying problems which I think are about the core of how technology works and that do present a problem for democracy.
So, Jamie, finally, final question. You say we need to become active citizens, but how can we, as an individual citizen, influence things like, democratic culture, free elections, and our fragile political system?
Yeah, it's a tough one, and some of it's going to come down in the end, I think, to regulations and stuff like that. But each of us have got to realize that we can point the finger at big tech firms, but we have made them. We have built them with our clicks and our shares and our data. And so we can make decisions to not feed the machine, and that's a conscious effort. We need to think about it. I sometimes think back to fair trade, when we suddenly got into fair trade and we realized that our purchasing decisions can make a difference and they matter. And it's the same with what you click and share online. Think of everything you do online as being a political gesture and take it with the seriousness it deserves. And, you know, one other thing, it's very easy for us to point the finger at our political rivals and say they are the ones that are angry and irrational, but it's often us. All of us have a duty to maintain etiquette and a willingness to compromise online. And sometimes that's going to mean switching off a little bit, calming down, not flying off the handle, and listening to your political opponents. And that, of course, that's something that all of us can do.
Elon Musk was interviewed yesterday on CBS Morning Show. He said that where he believes the public good is affected, that there should be oversight. He's speaking about artificial intelligence, social media. And one of the other points he brought up was, I'll quote him, willy-nilly fake news. When there are more clicks on fake news than the real stuff, there's a real public deception being created. I just don't know how you legislate against something like that. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think legislation is the answer, because the minute you start legislating fake news, it starts getting very, very murky. I mean, when is something fake, or when is it simply highly opinionated? And the idea that there's news that's fake and news that's not fake is a grave mistake. So I worry about legislation. We can, I think, teach people to be more critical of their media consumption. So that means that kids need to be taught not just why you trust certain things over other things. I think, but that we've missed part of the story there. We also are going to have to teach people about our own psychological biases. The reason that so much fake news spreads and is popular is not just because of an algorithm. It's because of our internal algorithm in between our ears, which makes us confirmation seekers. And the willingness that we have to dismiss information we disagree with while finding stuff that we do. That's for us. That's a psychological study. And I think media literacy now, to me, has become possibly the most important subject in schools. And it's going to have to be rolled out far more, and it's going to have to include a psychology element so we understand our own weaknesses, because nothing's quite so powerful.
Well said. The book is The People Versus Tech, How the Internet is Killing Democracy and How We Can Save It. Our guest is Jamie Bartlett. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today on Cool Science Radio.
No, thank you very much for having me.